This is just for reminder, for edification, to encourage you. For some of us, it's just going to be keeping on, keeping on. And for others, it may be just a little step you need to make, and a little tweak and a little change you need to make. But praise the Lord. I thank God for His Word this morning. Hallelujah. If you will turn with me, and we'll give honor to God's Word today, Isaiah 1, verses 18 through 20. Isaiah 1, verses 18 through 20. Praise Your name, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Stand with me, if you will, just for a moment. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Praise the Lord. Bob, yesterday, as he was speaking at the baptism, brought up the key of obedience. And what happened yesterday was an obedient heart who decided to give outward honor to God by identifying with exactly what Jesus went through when He was taken to the cross, crucified, then He was buried, and then He rose again. He died, He was buried, and He rose. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And God began to deal with me again and remind me about how important obedience is. And it wasn't a heavy thing. Just some reminders that we need to look at how important obedience is. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at there's several scriptures here, but this is not going to take a long time. I only have one page, so you don't have to sweat it. Oh, that should have been a joke, folks. Anyway, if you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I want to remind you all, most of you know this, but for those who may not, in Deuteronomy 28, there are 68 verses. And in Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses are dedicated to the blessings that come upon you for obedience to the Lord, to God, the Father, and to the Lord. The other 54 talk about the curses. Now, we're not going to go through all that. What I want to focus on today is obedience, what it means, the definition according to Webster, and just some scriptures that are important that we look at. So we'll look at Deuteronomy, and there's a few more verses, 15, 45, and 62. We'll just look at those three in Deuteronomy 28 also. But let's start at Deuteronomy 28, chapter 28, verse 4, 1. Yeah. Deuteronomy 28, 1. There we go. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commands which I have commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high, or set you high above all nations of the earth. Now we're only in the first verse, and He's already talking about the blessings of just being obedient. Amen? Now this is something some of us probably, or most of us, can't even imagine. Verse 2 says, and all these blessings, just by the act of obedience, will come upon you and overtake you. They won't just come upon you, they'll overtake you. You know, it's like a racer who's running down the road, or an automobile or something, and all of a sudden out of the peripheral vision you see, or in the mirror you see another car coming up, and they're just about to run you over, or maybe the rest of the group. And that's the picture that you need to see here. It says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Because of what? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Whereas most of us get into trouble, or where we miss it and miss some of the blessings, is because we obey to a point, but we pick and choose what we're going to obey and what we're not going to obey. Sometimes that's because of flesh. Sometimes that's because of lack of teaching. Sometimes it's just out of plain deception. But the point is that when we obey God, there are blessings that are coming and that will come and that can't be stopped because of our obedience. Would you agree with that? Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command His blessings on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as holy, as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord God, which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand. So you shall lend to many and many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and you are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. Now, what we just read there is exactly what we have just because of our obedience. Amen? Was there anything left out there? I can't think of a thing that was left out. It talked about just about, in fact, it talked about every area of your life. All of the things you have need of. All of the things you desire. All of the things that God's promised. They are all operating and all come into fruition in your life because of your obedience and my obedience. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 15 says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commands and His statutes, which I command you today, that all the curses will come upon you and overtake you." Now, I don't know about you, that's something I want to make sure I take quite, you know, close note of. If we won't listen to all the commands, the keys there is all the commands and what the Lord speaks to us. Man does not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 45. "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you." Now, I want to make something clear. God's not standing up there with a baseball bat saying, "I want you to obey me or else." But He's giving you opportunity. How many remember that the Bible says, He says, "I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing, but I admonish you, choose life. Choose you this day who you will serve." Basically, I'll put it this way. Are you going to serve the flesh, serve the world, or are you going to serve God? You can't serve both. That's called double-mindedness. And we all know that the Bible says that's instability, and you won't be able to stand. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 62. "You shall be left few in numbers, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God." I don't think we need to pursue that any further. I think that's quite clear. Now, if you want to turn with me, or you're taking notes, you can turn to Joshua 5:6. Joshua 5:6. "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that He would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that He would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey." Disobedience can cause you to miss out on the things that God has for you. Amen? Obedience is what causes exaltation in your life and in my life. Obedience is what causes you to be brought before great men. What causes your gift to be seen is obedience to God. Nothing else, nothing more or less. Amen? I'm going to let that go too. Joshua 1, 7 and 8, if you will. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Just turn back to Joshua 1. And Joshua 1, 7 and 8 says, well, in fact, I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses your servant commanded you to do. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you shall may observe to do all, observe to do according to all that is written therein. Let me just touch on that. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you and I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now listen, for then, if you're wondering why success has eluded you, if you seem to be missing out on the success that you thought was going to be there, that you were anticipating by your walk with God and by your obedience, here's what it says. It says, for then you will make your way prosperous. So obedience is contingent on prospering, isn't it? And then you will have good success. Success is based on only one thing, and that's obedience. How many people have known people who have gone out, given their lives to work, watched their families go right down the tube, watched their everything they have go away just because they gave their life to something that they can't take with them? Amen? And so it's better to obey God and follow Him. And then He says, He'll add all these other things to you if you seek first His kingdom, right? Obedience, very important. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Jeremiah, or if you're writing notes, Jeremiah 7, 24 and 20, 23 and 24, excuse me. 7, 23 and 24. Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24. And this is contingent on going forward and not backward. But this is what I command you, or this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways which I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels of the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward, not forward. Are going forward and growing and... what's the word I want to use? Being what all everything God wants us to be and receiving everything God wants us to be is by obeying His voice. If you don't, then whether you realize it or not, and whether you see it right away or not, you'll begin to start to go backwards. Amen? It's been said that if you don't make a decision, you've already made a decision, and you're already starting to backslide. Amen? So it's very important that we obey. And remember that this, you know, God is the one who works in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? He understands our frame, and He knows that this flesh fights. But what He's also done is He's given us the abilities, through the Spirit of God and through His Word, to overcome the flesh and the enemy and the lies, and to cause spiritual dominance from our spirit because of the Holy Spirit's indwelling over the things of the flesh. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now let me just tell you what Merriam-Webster says about obey and obedient. And everything else follows suit, so I'm not going to go any further than obey and obedient. First, obey is to follow the commands or guidance or to confirm or to comply with. Comply with. Second part of that is to behave obediently. Now, to be obedient is to be... now, listen carefully. This is a word we don't like, but it's very important. Submissive to the restraint or command of authority. Now, that doesn't mean every authority. We need to be very clear on that. God's authority. In other words, God's idea and the best way you can live is to be theocratic, not democratic. You ever noticed in the democratic, what we call our democratic society, there's always arguments back and forth and everybody's vying because I want to be first place and I want you to listen to me and I want you to follow me? Well, we've seen where that's gotten us, haven't we? But theocratic, not democratic. And the second part of that is willing to obey. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Amen? Ezekiel 20, 7 through 9. Ezekiel 20, 7 through 9. I'm going to take the time to read these. We have the time. We're not running out of time. We're still going to be out of here at a good time. Ezekiel 20, verses 7 through 9. You know, it doesn't matter what else we do. Let me temper that a little bit. It does matter what we do, but what the most important thing, and everything else falls under that, is our obedience. Obedience. And that's, you know, where have you ever not benefited from being obedient to God? Where have you ever lost anything by not being obedient or by being obedient to God? Now, y'all are just over inundating me with your answers. So that tells me nowhere. Let's see what it says. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. Ezekiel, not Exodus. Bill, Ezekiel. Forgive me. Yeah, it was. That's the Ten Commandments, but we want Ezekiel. I don't have my normal glasses on. Maybe that's the problem. Ezekiel 20, verses 7 through 9. Then I said to them, each of you throw away the abominations which are before his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and they would not obey me. They did not cast away the abominations which were before their eye, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Okay? Just another reminder that if we just, you know, we need to make sure that our focus and our attention and everything we desire is in God. And once again, it goes against everything we've ever been taught from the time we were little kids, that if we'll do that, then everything else that pertains to life and godliness that we need, that we have desire of, will be given to us by God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, in other words, there's one way to do it. And not only that, can I just tell you something else? When you do it God's way, you're laying up eternal treasures. When you do it the other way, you're laying up treasures that are going to be taken away from you the minute you step at death's door. You can't take it with you. So it's better to have treasures in heaven, treasures laid up that are eternal, than the temporal things of this earth. Because we know everything on this earth, wood, hay, stubble, all that stuff is all going to be burned up in the end. Amen? And only the things that are godly and that are right and righteous are going to stand. Is that not true? Praise the Lord. Matthew 8, 27. The Scripture talks about how the seas obeyed Him. Every one of us here, I believe, has a desire to walk in the authority and dominion that God has given us all. But you can't do it if you don't obey God. If you want to walk in the dominion that God gave Adam and that He restored to us because of His death, burial, and resurrection, and taking the keys of the kingdom back, which He now has in His hand, amen, then we have to obey. There's a lot at stake here, isn't there? Matthew 8:27. So men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Mark 1:27 talks about how even the spirits obey Him when He cast out the evil spirits. Now we remember the story about the ones who came and wanted to buy this privilege of being able to use the name of Jesus and this power. And what happened to them? It wasn't pretty. Demons came back on them. Luke 17:6. I want to read this one because this is very important that we hear this verbatim. Luke 17:6. This is a familiar scripture to everybody, I'm sure. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, I would submit to you for consideration, maybe the reason we don't see the kind of miracles and things that were seen in the old days of the Scripture and in Jesus' time is because there's an obedience problem. Just something to consider, okay? Amen. We've all seen tremendous things happen here through our prayers and things, not because we went out necessarily, and even we've even done that. Some of us have even gone out and laid hands on people and watched God raise them. Amen. But I would say that probably in the church, the biggest reason they're not seeing the miracles and having the authority that God intended for them to have is because of a lack of obedience. They've got another idea, or they think there's a shortcut. And I'm here to tell you, there's no shortcut. Acts 5:29 admonishes us to obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. I want to remind you that in some religious circles and some church theology has taught that we're supposed to obey the government. Now, none of us in this place are going to go out and do something deliberately to disobey the government. But I would submit to you that whether it's a preacher standing in the pulpit or it's a government official or who it is or the laws of the land, you are obligated to follow God and not the man. Your obedience and your allegiance is to God, not the man. The reason we know that is because, and the reason that's very evident is because we've seen the corruption that has happened in the government. Now, I'm not here to talk about that. I don't want to dwell on that. I just want to bring that up. Obey God. And the Bible says if you judge yourself, if you rule over yourself, you'll not need that anybody else rule you or anybody else judge you. I'm taking a little liberty there. You know that. But the point is that's the case. If you judge yourself, you won't need anybody else to judge you. And you're going to do what's pleasing to God, and it'll make you pleasing in the sight of those who are in authority. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now in Romans 2, 5 and 11, a couple more, folks, and we're gone. We're done. Romans 2, 5 and 11. 5 through 11, excuse me. Romans 2, 5 through 11. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation in the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance is doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. How many know that when we stand in judgment, God's going to render according to our deeds and according to what's been done. Not what you hope for, not what you would have liked to have done, but what you have actually done or not done. Amen? Romans 6, 12, verse 12 and verse 16. Romans 6, verse 12 and verse 16. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And verse 16 says, Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves who you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Last but not least, 1 Samuel 15:22. 1 Samuel 15:22. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and in sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Now, this was a specific case, but it also ties over. God's word doesn't pass away until all is fulfilled. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And he doesn't lie. What he said, he will do. So, obviously, it's obedience is what is pleasing to God and not our sacrifice. Amen? Yeah. How many of us at times when we were young or even as adults have gone into a situation where we knew if we did this, but there was just something that compelled us to do something that we knew was going to backfire in our face. We knew, and we did it. And the outcome was terrible. We felt terrible. It caused a bad situation for others as well as ourselves, and yet we did it. And then we're sorry. Then we're really shook up because we did it. And yet it would have just taken crucifying our flesh at that moment. Amen? You know? The world has a saying, don't cry over spilled milk. Well, you know, when the deed's done, it's history. There's no going back and there's no changing it. So what David did when he was in these situations, and what we all need to do to be men and women after God's heart, is to repent immediately and become, you know, strive and seek God to help us be more obedient, which means he must increase, as John the Baptist says, and we must decrease. Our desires, our wants, our wishes, unless they're in God. Remember? You know, I found myself here just recently saying, God, what do you want? It's not what I want, Lord. And it was in a situation not like Nehemiah, but it was a situation where I had some ideas, and all of a sudden it just rose up inside me. I mean, it never has been quite like this before. And he said, God, it doesn't matter what I want. What do you want? What do you want? You order my steps. You tell me what you want. That's what I want. I desire to please him with every part of my being. With everything within me. I want to be obedient. Do I hit the mark every day all the time? No. But I'm working towards that. And the more I submit to that and the more I desire that, the more I hit the mark and the more I grow. It's a lifetime process, folks. Amen? It's a lifetime process. They also say in the world, that, or basically I think it's even backed up in Scripture, that the mark of a fool is one who repeats his mistakes. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I've played the fool many times because of my foolishness and impetuousness. I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Very important. In closing, this will be the final thought. It's so important. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Praise the Lord. Just a little admonishment there and a little reminder that our obedience is far greater and far more important than anything else. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's good. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Sometimes we need to be reminded and kind of take stock of where our vision and our focus is, where our desires are. I want to walk in the truth and the authority of the Scripture that says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. Do it as unto the Lord. Amen? Praise you, Lord. The benefits are eternal. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God loves you. He loves me. We're going to get there. That's not going to change. But the danger is, because He's given us free will and free choice, is us making our own decisions without asking Him or allowing Him to be in the process of our decision making, no matter what it is. And He wants to be involved, even, and is concerned about even the little minor, minute details of our life. But He also wants to be involved in those minor, minute details. Amen? Not just the big things. Not just the big things. How many know when you're in a relationship, a godly relationship, that God ordained like a husband and wife, that nothing should be or should be able to be hidden? Amen? It should all be open. Back in 1993, after many years of walking with the Lord, I finally made a decision. God, I want to be transparent. I'm not perfect. I don't care whether people think I'm perfect or not. What matters to me is I'm perfect in your eyes. And once again, for those who may not have heard this before, perfection in God's eyes are those whose heart is fixed after Him and who have made the decision, I want to be obedient and I want to follow You with every part of my being. Amen? Now, we're going to make mistakes. The Bible tells us that. Or God wouldn't have put in Scriptures like, a righteous man falls 7 times but rises up again. Amen? So, don't get discouraged if you fall. Pick yourself up. Be like David and say, Father, I'm sorry. I made a huge mistake. And then don't dwell on it. Do you understand? Do you have the revelation that when you ask God for forgiveness, which really means, I'm sorry for what I did, I will not repeat that, I repent, which means turn 180 degrees, that God removes that from you as far as the east is from the west. And He buries it in the deepest sea, and He has no more recollection of it. Amen? So that means, don't bring it up to Him again. You can't do anything about it. The only thing you had the ability to do about it was repent and go on. And never go there again. So, it's water under the bridge. Don't dwell there. Continue keeping your eyes on Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to teach you, to cause you to grow. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The coolest thing ever is the fact that God doesn't just throw these things out and leave us hanging and say, well, I hope you make it. But He's there to walk with us and show us. It's like the song that I told you about a few weeks ago that I woke up in the morning just singing. Being thankful to God for sending His Holy Spirit till the work on earth is done. How many know you and I are a work in progress? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's good. And I believe in all of this, He demonstrates His love greatly for us. Amen. It also shows us more revelation on Jeremiah 29:11, doesn't it? Thoughts that He thinks towards us, to prosper us and not to harm us. Amen. To give us a hope and a future. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper, not to harm you. Well, for some reason, part of that eludes my... As for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Anyway, to prosper and not to harm you. Hallelujah. Sounds like something I need to be involved in. Amen? How about you? Hallelujah. I promise you, it's to your advantage and to your benefit. And not only that, because of that, it'll benefit the kingdom. Amen? How many know it's about the kingdom? That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus did everything He did for the kingdom. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If anyone needs prayer this morning, just raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that God knows what those needs are. If you don't have to tell us if you don't want to, but if you want to, you can. If you want to come up here, we're happy to have people come and pray with you. There's people who are anxious to pray with you. And God's ready, willing, and able to answer those prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Georgianne? Amen. Amen. Well, Georgianne, let me encourage you that there's nothing you've said or asked that is not from a pure heart. And so, I just thank God. In fact, I pray right now, Father, I thank you, Lord. Put her heart at peace. And because she has a desire to obey you and to listen to you, Lord, that the enemy won't come in and distract her, cause her to do something that is not of your will. But she'll see clearly, she'll have confidence and boldness, because it's your plan and your will and your desire for her betterment, Lord. In Jesus' name. Ladies, do you just want to leave it unspoken? Okay. Well, praise you, Lord. Father, I thank you for these two women who have come here today. I thank you for them, Lord, and I thank you that they heeded your voice and obeyed. They came as guests, but they also came because you brought them here, Lord, for a reason. So right now, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, I thank you that you know what their needs are. You know what it is they're seeking after. And you know what it is that they need in their lives to continue to serve you and to grow with you, Lord. So, Father, right now I send the word to these two ladies. And I say, be whole, be healed, be confident in Jesus' name. Satan, you get your hands off. You bow your knee according to the word that says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It's by the character in that name, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for bringing them here today. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to fellowship with them. And we thank you for touching them and meeting their needs and for your word accomplishing what it was sent to do in their hearts today. No accidents here today, Lord. Your desire, your will, done in this house today. We don't understand that. We're just men. But we thank you, Lord, that you operate through men who obey you and listen. And women who listen and obey you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Before we pray for the fellowship, I'm going to ask Donna to come. And we want to acknowledge our guests today and take care of the things we normally take care of. Things are a little different today, but that's okay. Amen. Hallelujah.